This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Frazier gets a sign from Vasquez, and the 0-2 coming. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And that is the ball game. Vasquez throwing on to complete the K, and the Red Sox win it by a final score of 8-3 tonight in Kansas City. Breaking away late to win this one. Nunez coming off the bench for the big blow, the three-run shot. Red Sox 8, Kansas City 3.
Yeah, here we go, Murray. BKC. Oh, that was a big one last night, wasn't it? Yeah, Maz, that's the springboard. That's the one that's going to get the Red Sox going. That's the springboard they're going to take off now. BKC. Woo! Woo!
Even I can't feign that kind of energy for this.
What a crock. Holy crap. I have to admit, in the middle of that game last night, you know what I did? I went, they can't lose to these bums. They were down 2-0. I said, are they going to lose to these bums? These freaking stiffs. The Kansas City Royals, and ooh, couldn't you feel the buzz? Did you hear that final call by Dave O'Brien? 13,000 in attendance last night in Kansas City. This is exactly the kind of doormat the Red Sox need right now. And I don't want to hear win the series, take 2 out of 3. I want them to sweep their ass. Sweep it. Sweep, sweep, sweep. And then to get on some kind of roll and start beating some good teams. That part, I think, should be obvious. Kansas City. Like, we're going to get excited about this series, which is why we're going to talk about other things tonight on the Baseball Reporters. 617-779-0985. Billy Lanny's filling in for Jimmy Stewart tonight. So we'll get to a bunch of different things. Honestly, one of the primary things I want to talk about is Dave Dombrowski, the draft is going on. We'll get to this in the next segment a little bit because I think there's some pertinent elements that relate to this year's team, which I'll explain in 1 second. But the fact that Dave Dombrowski is trying to rebuild this Red Sox farm system should alarm you. Should alarm you. And I'll explain why. And we'll look at some of the guys that he's picked that have panned out and how that's going lately. Because to me, that's something that you should worry about, which really gets to sort of the young players on the Red Sox, the future of the Red Sox. But first, last night's game. And I admit, I want Billy Lanny to vouch for me here. In the middle of the day today, actually in the late morning before I left the house, I sent you a quote-unquote highlight, Billy, right? Would you acknowledge that I sent you this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the reason I sent Billy this highlight, the reason I'm telling you about it, is because, A, I knew it wouldn't be in the game package on MLB.com or anywhere else for that matter. And so that was the primary reason I sent it. And then on the way in, I heard Beetle, that bastard, on the midday show, actually do the item that I wanted to do as the lead. So I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, I'm going to do it anyway because I picked up the Globe this morning. And I saw this headline, a perfect throw by Jackie Bradley Jr. provided the spark the Red Sox needed. Murray, I think I know the answer to this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Did you watch any of the Red Sox last night?
Not one bit.
Okay, good. Because you didn't miss anything. Okay, you didn't miss a blasted thing. So they played the Kansas City Royals. They were behind 2-0. They rallied. They went ahead 3-2, and then they won the game. Okay, in the middle there. And I'm going to read now from Peter Abraham's story in the Globe. And I'm not blaming Pete, per se, as much as I am. I knew this would come up today. Billy Hamilton was on first base with one out in the bottom of the inning, and that was the fifth. Okay? Fifth inning. On first, one out, when Whit Merrifield hit a fly ball to the gap in right field. So right center. The ball hung up long enough for either Jackie Bradley Jr. or Mookie Betts to make the catch. And it was Bradley who called for it about 20 feet in front of the warning track. It was just a routine play until Hamilton tagged up and took off for second base. Okay? Hamilton took off for second. Jackie Bradley threw it in. If you don't know Billy Hamilton, he's probably one of the fastest guys in the big leagues. Okay, can't hit a lick, but if he puts the ball in play, man, he can really run. Probably the fastest guy in the majors. So Hamilton tried to tag up. Bradley threw him out at second base, and I would say easily threw him out at second base. Pete Abe then writes, don't poke the big dog. The Red Sox scored 3 runs in the sixth and kept on scoring for an 8-3 victory. Now, as a former beat guy, I'll tell you what happened. There was a play in the game that was the only thing that was even remotely dramatic. And honestly, it wasn't even that dramatic, which I'll get to in a minute. Somehow, Peter Abraham credited this play by Jackie Bradley as being the thing that ignited the Red Sox and sent them on a victory. And to me, this becomes a Jackie Bradley issue. Like, what is it about Jackie Bradley that when he does something that any center fielder in the big leagues could have done last night, any center fielder in the big league could have made that play? Why is it that he has to get special attention for it? Like, do we all feel the need somehow to show how much we know about baseball and we have to emphasize Bradley's defense? Because I have news for you. His defense hasn't been good that year, and offensively, he still sucks. So I don't understand what the issue is or why the need to point it out every time Jackie Bradley actually makes a half-decent play. I never read anything about how much he sucks offensively, which I'll get to in a minute. But the play in question, the play was so ordinary. You tell me, we're going to play it for you. You tell me if Dave O'Brien sounds, unusually excited and recognized it as a major play in the game when it took place. Here you go.
One man away. Here's the 0-2. Runner holds again and a fly ball to right center field. Moving over Bradley, and he will make the play. Tagging up now, Hamilton. Here's the throw, and he's going to be cut down at second. And that's going to wind up as a double play to retire the side. Hamilton took a chance there, and he was cut down on the throw by Jackie Bradley.
Okay, does it sound like any sort of major momentum shift there or anything unusual? That sounds like a pretty ordinary play call.
Yeah, not much change in the inflection there.
I mean, really, it's pretty straight, right?
Yep. Routine play is what it sounds like.
You don't hear Dave O'Brien say, wow, major momentum shift, opportunity, what a blown thing by the Royals. You don't hear any of that. And you know why? Because none of it existed. Because it wasn't true. Because you know what that was really, that play last night? It was a dumbass base running mistake. That's what it was. Billy Hamilton was a dope for going. You dope, what are you doing? The ball's a fly ball into right center field, which, you know what that means? Jackie Bradley had a nice, short, easy throw to second base. If Hamilton were trying to go to third, I might give Bradley a little bit of credit. But on that play, Bradley did nothing. Nothing. Meanwhile, in OPS, among all regular major leaguers, you know where he ranks? 84th out of 86. In OPS. Defensively, according to Fangraphs, you know where he ranks among American League center fielders? 10th out of 15 this year. Fine, how about all Major League outfielders? You know where he ranks? And I'm sorry, that was all Major League center fielders. 10th out of 15. In the overall outfield, defensively, you know where he ranks this year? According to Fangraphs, again, modern metrics, 37th out of 62. Jackie Bradley has been a woefully inept offensive player this year. And defensively, according to Fangraphs, he's been below average in center field and below average overall. So I don't understand why Jackie Bradley still gets credit when he makes ordinary plays in the outfield. Again, ordinary plays. Yeah, I heard Shaughnessy say this on the Midday Show. He's 29 years old. And incredibly, I still read stories about how he's getting results on his swing and it's starting to come. Jackie Bradley's 29. It's not coming. He doesn't hit. Fact. He'll never really hit. He'll hit for little bursts of a season like he does every year, but he's never going to be a good offensive player, which is why they should have traded his ass during the offseason. They didn't. So, Bradley's got one more year left. To me, the chances, this is one of the reasons part of me hopes for the Red Sox to fall out of contention so they can trade off some pieces and actually get something for him. Bradley and Rick Porcello at the top of my list. Porcello, because he's a pitcher. I like his makeup. I like the variables. But Bradley, really, can you get, and you should have gotten something for him during the offseason. I mean, I was stunned to read that today. That's the play in the game that stuck out. You know what stuck out in that game more to me than anything? The ball that J.D. Martinez hit to right field. That hit the top of the wall and, like, sat there. Did you guys see this? Sat on the top of the wall and then trickled off and came back in play? I don't know that I've ever seen that before. I was way more interested in that than I was in Jackie Bradley's catch. JJ's in the car. JJ, what do you got?
Hey, I was...
Well, that worked out well. Yeah, he was good. Sean's in Whitenville. Sean, what do you got?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to tell you, yes, Jackie Bradley Jr., I have no idea why everybody's saying, like, Spock to get the Sox going. Like, seriously, if that's what it takes to get the Sox going, then there's a problem. But, and
Sean,
also...
Yeah, your subject line says you also wanted to talk about the bullpen, so go ahead.
Yeah, the bullpen. I honestly still think, I called you before about this, I really do think they still need to make a change in the bullpen. Like, make a trade, do something, and I understand the front, everything's thin. There's, like, maybe not much they can do, but they got to do something because they have to go in. If they want to make the postseason, they got to go in there with something more than what they got now.
Yeah, Sean, I think that's coming. I can't imagine that the Red Sox are going to stand pat with their relief corps. I think that, honestly, the more I think about it, I think it was all financial, which is another thing that should cause you to raise an eyebrow. We are talking about the Red Sox. And yet, I can't blame them for not spending enough money, but they don't want to go over that luxury tax threshold of $246 million, so they weren't going to go out and get a premium reliever. They weren't going to do it. In retrospect, could they have done other things? In other words, could they have let Evaldi go, or could they have let Steve Pierce go and use some of that money towards a reliever? Yes. I was in favor of bringing both those guys back, although I told you at the time that the Evaldi contract was stupid, and I still feel that way. Nonetheless, you mentioned they don't have a lot to trade. That sort of brings me to the bigger picture question of how the Red Sox have fared in the draft over the last several years, specifically the first round of the draft. Like, the first round should be automatic, right? Let me ask you guys a quick question. If I said to you, when is the last time the Red Sox got a superstar in the first round of the draft, what would you say? And don't answer it yet. We'll do it when we come back. Okay, but if you had to think about it, you said, boy, who's the last first-round pick in the Red Sox that really became like a stud for them? Stud. We'll answer that question next and look at Dave Dombrowski's draft history with Boston. We'll look at the team's draft history overall in recent years. We'll do that when we come back.
With Tony Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you have the 43rd overall pick, Maz, are you going to take a guy who is ranked 94th on the Baseball America draft board? I don't know, a guy who should be going two rounds later than he actually went? That's a huge problem. You know, you look at the way that Dave Dombrowski has drafted over the last, well, this will be his fourth draft with the Red Sox. They have nothing to show for it. Nobody's made the big leagues. They barely have anybody in the top 100. And once again, it looks like the Red Sox whiffed on their first overall pick.
That was Matt McCarthy, he of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get it on our website. McCarthy's a real baseball junkie. I mean, seam head. Like, epic seam head. And that was him talking about the Red Sox draft pick, the kid they took the other night. I forget the kid's first name already. His last name's Cannon. He's a shortstop from Arizona. And Matt pointed out that the Red Sox had the 43rd pick. This kid was projected near 100, 94, I think he said. in the draft. And the Red Sox took him 50 spots higher. So the question is, are they reaching there? And this, to me, leads to an overall bigger picture question about the Red Sox farm system, where they are developmentally. And I even go to, and the reason I jump off of this with Jackie Bradley from the first, from the first segment, is that Bradley's one of these guys that made the team out of Double A, and everybody thought, whoa, what a player this guy's going to be. And he's still living off it. He's a career 230 hitter. He's batting, what, a buck 80-something? He's been under 200 all year. Even the defense this year hasn't been what it's been in other years. To start the year, it was poor. And yet, the point being that Jackie Bradley never turned into the player that we thought he was going to. So how many of these guys have? So if I were to look just quickly, okay, at Dave Dombrowski, let's start with Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski's first-round picks with the Red Sox, and obviously they just took the kid again from Arizona, Cannon. So you can't even pass judgment on that yet. Who the hell knows? But Matt McCarthy doesn't sound too keen on it. Last year was a third baseman named Tristan Casas. Right now he's hitting .254 in the minor leagues, A-ball, with an .832 OPS. So he's hit for some power. Way too early to say whether it's a success or a failure, but I will say hitting .254 in A-ball, not a good sign. I know this kid's got power, but the average, I think, is only going to go down. Now, he might develop, but we'll see. Okay, before Casas, Murray, gold star for you if you can tell me who they drafted in the first round in 2017.
The pitcher. Right? The kid that that blew out his arm last year. The family's got popped on drugs.
Close.
Jason Groom.
He was the year before.
Okay.
2017, their first round pick was a kid named Tanner Houck.
Okay. Yeah.
Tanner Houck.
I've heard the name, but my bad.
Tanner Houck is now at Double A. He's 5-4 with a 4.47 ERA. In his career in the minors, 12-18, 4.23.
Okay, so he stinks.
Does that sound like anything special?
No, not at all.
Because it isn't. Then Jay Groom, whom you talked about. Jay Groom hasn't pitched in 2 years. Okay? Groom in his career before the injury, 3-9, 5.37. He has not pitched since 2017.
I remember at the time, a lot of upside, though.
And Groom, by the way, was the 12th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Okay? Casas was number 26. Groom was 12. Houck was 24th. They whiffed on two, it looks like, and on Casas, we don't know yet. Okay, so this brings me back to, I looked at this and I said, wow, boy, the Red Sox really have had some hard time in the draft here in recent years. Who's the last superstar that they drafted? The Red Sox, a team that at one time pumped out players like nobody's business. Roger Clemens, Mo Vaughn, you know, not all these guys were first round picks, but John Valentin, Bruce Hurst, they went through a stretch there in the late 70s or even mid 70s into the 80s. Fred Lynn, Jim Rice, Carlton Fisk, Dwight Evans. They were pumping out players like nobody's business. And then all those lefties. Hurst, as I said, Bobby Ojeda, John Tudor. All these guys. And again, not all superstars, but all good major league players. If I were to say to you, who's the last superstar? The last superstar that the Red Sox drafted. Who would you say?
Nomar?
Billy Lanny, do you have a guess on the last superstar the Red Sox drafted? I'm putting you on the spot. I know you just walked back in here. Do you remember me asking the question?
Yeah, I'm with Murray. I'm going to say it's Nomar.
And even he fell off.
Okay, but Nomar was a superstar.
Yeah, he was.
You know when Nomar was drafted?
Probably 95?
94. Very good, Murray.
Okay.
25 years ago.
That sounds about right.
25 years ago.
I was trying to rack
ago.
My brain.
Okay.
Because you mentioned Clemens, but that's going to, what, 80? Two.
Yeah, that's going into the 80s. Kevin's in the car. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think historically they take pitchers for the most part in the first round, like 31 to 70, but I would say Nomar Garciaparra. Jacoby Ellsbury's up there. I wouldn't call him a superstar. My question is, when's the last time they picked a pitcher of all the pitchers they've taken that's been a superstar? I think you got to go back to Roger Clemens.
Second round they got
Lester.
Lester, yeah.
Yeah, so Lester's close. I mean, again, he was a second-round pick, but he was their first selection in that draft. They didn't have a first-rounder that year.
He's a superstar.
They did well on Lester.
Yeah.
Right? They did well on Lester. Again, but that was Theo, and that was a while ago. And I admit there's a little manipulation there because he was a second-round pick.
Sure.
So let's go back to, again, since Nomar, here are the guys they've taken. You're going to hear these names, and they're going to be like, they might as well be Greek to you, Murray.
Okay.
I remember some of these guys. I remember a lot of them. You're not going to remember any of them. So just quickly. Corey Jenkins, Andy Yount, Chris Rietsma, Josh Garrett, Mark Fisher, John Curtis, Adam Everett. Adam Everett, they ended up trading for Carl Everett, if you remember that. Casey Fossum, Brad Baker, Rick Assadorian, he's a local kid, Phil Dumatreg, Matt Merton, David Murphy, Michael Bowden, Jed Lowry, Clay Buchholz, Craig Hansen. Okay, now,
all right, so those were decent enough major.
Craig Hansen was a bum. He never panned out. That was all hype.
I mean, at least he got in.
Okay, now, Jacoby Ellsbury, does he qualify as a superstar?
No, just another guy.
Just another guy is right. Just another guy is right. Ellsbury was a first-round pick, 23rd overall. He was a good player. Everyday player, but nothing special. Really wasn't. Caleb Clay, Chris Johnson, Daniel Bard.
Ugh, what a...
Okay, but good for a little while, and then just completely broke down. Then, Jason Place, Ryan Dent, Nick Hagedone, Brian Price, Casey Kelly, Raymond Fuentes, Anthony Renato, Bryce Brents, Colburn Vidic, Jackie Bradley. Bradley a success or a failure?
Success.
Okay, again, everyday major league player.
Yeah.
And there's a reason I'm doing this. Because
ALCS MVP, you know, like, no, he's been a success. Okay. I got to be fair.
Pat Light. Now we get into recent years. Okay, this is starting in 2012.
Okay.
Pat Light, Brian Johnson, who's been hurt and never really fulfilled what he was supposed to be. Devin Marrero, first-round pick, a utility guy who can't hit.
Yeah.
Devin Marrero, horrible pick. Trey Ball in 2013 with the 7th selection in the draft. Since 2013, they've been in the top 12 three times. They've gotten Trey Ball at number 7. They got number 12 was Jay Groom, who you talked about, Murray. And here's another one. Andrew Benintendi, to this point in his career, has an 800 OPS. He was the number 7 pick in the draft. Trick question here, or maybe, I'm phrasing it a certain way. Has Andrew Benintendi lived up to the hype? Let me rephrase. Expectation. Has he lived up to expectation?
No, but it's
Billy?
Close.
Billy?
It is close, but does anybody live up to them?
No. Well, no, my answer on Benintendi's no. Yes, some guys do live up to the expectations.
Yeah, but Maz, he made that catch.
Yeah. And look, he contributed to a World Series championship. I don't think he hasn't lived up to the power expectations, especially this year.
You're
biased. You don't like him.
Benintendi has, because he hasn't lived up to the hype. I don't like him because he's overrated. That's why I don't like him, because fans talk about him like he's the greatest thing ever. So there's a theme tonight. Okay, the young players on the Red Sox that everybody overhypes, and the fact that they suck in the draft, and most of these guys aren't good anyway. And Benintendi's on the list. So I go from Bradley to Benintendi, and I'll give you the breakdown on Benintendi. Benintendi's not as good as everyone thinks he is. And you know what? He's getting worse on top of it. He's another one. Benintendi, in theory, should have been a middle-of-the-lineup bat. Andrew Benintendi was drafted 7th. The 7th pick in the draft. You know how often the Red Sox get to pick in the top 10? Rarely.
I'm looking at that 13 draft because Trey Ball stinks, obviously, and they took him, what, 7th?
And their last two picks at number 7 were Trey Ball and Andrew Benintendi. And Benintendi's fine, but he's an average major leaguer.
Yeah, average. But I think average actually works out for most teams. I mean, yeah, you would like to get a superstar at 7, but Trey Ball, a couple of picks later, was that Austin Meadows was pretty good for Tampa.
Okay, so look, I look at that and I say the Red Sox have not done well here in the first round. Even some of the guys they hit on, Bradley... You're telling me they couldn't have gotten someone better than Bradley at number, and Bradley, I should tell you too, was a supplemental pick. So he was 40th. He's okay, but they haven't hit in the draft. The more I think about it, they suck at the draft. They have sucked at the draft in recent years. But I want to continue with Benintendi when we come back after Murray gives you the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox have actually been hitting the ball hard throughout the night, but have yet to get on the scoreboard. There's a shot into right field. Merrifield backs up at the track, at the wall, and that ball is gone on the top of the wall. Wait a minute. It's going to stay in play. Here comes Mookie Betts. He is in to score. Down to third is Martinez. They're calling that a triple. But did the ball go over the top of the wall? Red Sox with a run on the board.
Yeah, that's something the Red Sox right now are going to quickly take a look at on replay. We're going to look at it on replay and see if we see. Back, and oh, yes, right on top of the wall, and then came back into play.
Oh, my.
Isn't that something?
And then dropping onto the warning track. Now, the umpires are getting together here.
That's a tough one for the umpires to see. It really is. And this is the best move they could make, taking a look at it. They're going to leave him at third base. I think that's the correct call, Dave.
That's the J.D. Martinez triple that looked like a home run last night when this thing happened. If you didn't see this play, you should look it up. I don't know that I've ever seen this happen. I've seen balls in a major league stadium hit the top of the wall and come back, you know, hit right on the corner and pop back. All kinds of crazy stuff. Last night, it hit the top of the wall and sat there. It was unbelievable. It defied the laws of physics. The ball hit the top of the wall and stopped. It just sat right there, and then it rolled back in the field of play, which is why Martinez officially and incorrectly ended up with a triple. Weird play, but they beat the Royals. I'm sorry. Unless they sweep the Royals, I'm not going to be happy. Two out of three is not good enough. But on the Red Sox draft, I told you they've had a poor draft history here in a long time. They really haven't drafted a superstar in the first round now since Nomar Garciaparra in 1994. And in the last 5 years, they've had two guys in the top seven, and they've had a number 12 pick, and I don't think they get superstars in those either. Jeff's in Franklin. Go ahead, Jeff.
What's up, guys? How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, some of your comments earlier about Red Sox not drafting superstars since Garciaparra. My question to you guys is how many World Series did Nomar win here? And before that, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, time and time again, it seems like superstars really don't matter in that league. You know, that's basketball. So I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, hey, Jeff, do you think David Ortiz was a superstar?
You know, I think for the city of Boston, he was a folk hero, but I wouldn't consider him a superstar. No, I think he was on a really good team. I think he hit some clutch home runs.
How about Manny Ramirez?
You know, maybe when he went to the bathroom in the...
Okay, see you later. You're being a clown.
This guy's an idiot.
Yeah, because you clearly don't want to acknowledge it. So they had plenty of superstars win. They had plenty of superstars. Pedro Martinez, Curt Schilling, and I'm not telling you they were all homegrown, but don't tell me that superstars don't matter. That's dumb.
David Ortiz, you could argue, was the most important player in the franchise's history.
I mean, and a megastar. Huge. A folk hero? Please. Folk hero. Jeff's in Norwood. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Good.
So you kind of stole my thunder because you just revised your question coming out of the break there. When you first asked it, you were saying the last superstar the Sox drafted, and you changed it to the first round. But I was going to say, you know, superstar that they drafted is Mookie Betts.
Yep.
He was a fifth-round pick that was drafted by the Sox. I agree with you. I think the track record's not fantastic, but the way you first phrased the question to ignore Mookie Betts, I thought was a little bit egregious, but I think it was just the way I think your intent of the question was first round, and it just didn't come out that way.
So, Jeff, I would tell you that egregious is not a bad word. I would use the word downright manipulative.
It could be, yes.
It was downright, I'm sorry, I let you go. It was very manipulative by me. because you can. You can find players in the other rounds in baseball. And Mookie Betts, I think, was a fifth-round pick, and Mookie Betts is a superstar.
That's correct, yeah.
So I would also tell you, though, that I think with Mookie Betts, they got a little lucky, and that they identified the player, but nonetheless, they got it right. Okay, they got it right. I'm just telling you, they've had some really high picks here in the last few years and haven't hit on them. Here's the other thing that I really I mean, you know what? I'm not going to give it away yet, Murray. I told Murray this during the break. There's another way I manipulated that question. I'll tell you what it is, although I want to see maybe if someone can also identify it. Paul's in the car. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Tony. I disagree with the way you're analyzing the Red Sox drafts. I mean, there's very, very few superstars in a draft. I mean, it's like, you know, a lottery. There's 1,600 players taken, and there might be two or three superstars. If you can get a major league regular player with one of your picks, that's great. If you can get Jackie Bradley at number 40 as a regular, that's wonderful. He's not a superstar, but if you look at the picks around him, 39, 41, 38, you'll find a lot of bums. You know, Andrew Benintendi at number 7, not a superstar, but he went right to the majors and he's a regular. Yeah, some picks are lousy. Trey Ball at number 7 is never going to play in the majors. That's a bad pick. But I mean, you could read off the list of number 1 overall picks in baseball and you'd find a lot of bums and very few superstars. So when you criticize the Red Sox or any team for not drafting superstars, it's just, I just think you're off base there.
So, Paul, listen, I'm going to let you go just because I want to get to some other people. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Usually in the first round, particularly later in the first round, if you get yourself a regular player, you're doing okay. Andrew Benintendi's not a bum. Andrew Benintendi's perfectly fine major league player. I disagree completely on how people perceive Benintendi. A lot of fans like Benintendi. Honestly, I think Benintendi's about as average as it gets for a major league outfielder. He is the definition of average. Really. And in fact, I looked it up. OPS-wise, left field, overall, defensively, left field, overall. When I say overall, I mean whether it's left, center, or right. He's right in the middle of the pack. Andrew Benintendi's an average major league outfielder. Average, the definition of average. Dave and Akar on Benintendi. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, I would say that it's kind of early. Benintendi, what is he, 24 right now?
I don't know, 24, 25 years old.
He came up when he was 22. He came up fast. He was hitting the shit out of
Yeah, you can't say that. Billy, you going to drop that, please? Go ahead, sorry. Keep going. I'm going to keep you on because I think you did it by mistake.
Yeah, I just feel like it's too soon to tell with Benintendi. Bradley, definitely. Totally agree. But with Benintendi, I mean, I still think that, I mean, Yaz didn't, you know, develop. You look at Yaz.
Dave, I'm going to let you go. Don't compare him to Yaz. Okay, don't compare him to Yaz. Benintendi is, the question from him from the very beginning was whether or not he was going to hit for power. He hit 2 home runs after the All-Star break last year, 16. The year before that, he hit 20 overall. And the numbers aren't awful. 271, 290. He's got a career 800 OPS. He's okay. I'm not telling you he's a bum. But when Benintendi was hitting the way he was in the minor leagues, I thought he had a chance to be a number 3 hitter in the lineup. And I think they did too. And he's not. In fact, he can't even hit leadoff, which is a separate issue unto itself. And do I admit that I have manipulated this argument? Yes, I have. As a prior caller pointed out, Mookie Betts is a superstar. They got him in the 5th round. It doesn't really matter where you get him at the end of the day. I don't have a lot of faith in Dave Dombrowski's ability to draft. And, you know, a couple of picks that they've taken here with Dombrowski to me look really shaky. There's also another way that I've manipulated the argument, and I'm not sure anyone is going to identify it. And not that, you know, again, I'm not saying you're wrong to miss it, but I'll tell you what it is in a second. Unless Dan in the car can do that. Dan, what do you got?
Tony, I got 2 quick things. One, things changed at the Theo Epstein left. The drafting changed. The other thing that changed is the player development. Right, they haven't developed players at the same level. And the example I can give you was the year they signed Rich Hill, they hired a guy, I think his name was Bannister, who is claimed to be like the pitching whisperer. He could help anybody find a pitch. And they have not developed any pitches in the minor leagues. Those are 2 things that I think are happening here. It's not just the drafting. It's the player development as well.
Okay, so look, the pitchers are a big one. They don't have any pitching. That's a big problem. If you look at their pitching staff, it's all free agents or trades. right? They didn't develop any of those guys. I'm talking about the starters now. Matt Barnes was a first-round draft pick, so he's another one they did well with. Okay, but the other part of this, and this is the part that I'm leaving out, is international free agents. So, for example, Xander Bogaerts wasn't eligible for the draft. They didn't draft him. But they signed him as a 16-year-old. It might as well have been a draft pick. So I'm manipulating that. Xander Bogaerts is a damn good player, and guess what? He's getting better. Bogaerts is getting better. I would also tell you that Rafael Devers, same type of thing. Michael Chavis just joined the team this year. He's a first-round pick, although for obvious reasons, I would put an asterisk next to that one. But you go right around and you say Christian Vasquez, if you want to talk about him, international free agent, signed out of Puerto Rico. So they've done okay in some of that. Really, a lot of those guys are quote-unquote homegrown. The problem is now that the rules have changed some. So the Red Sox don't have the advantage in the international marketplace that they've had in other years. The Major League Baseball has balanced that out so that the big market teams can't just throw their money around. So the Red Sox have lost that edge. They're not going to pick high in the draft because they're a good team year in and year out because they have the money. And if you look at their recent draft history, particularly in the first round, it's not great. And Dombrowski's history overall, not great. Like, people want to say, well, he drafted Josh Beckett. He drafted Justin Verlander. Yeah, with the number two overall pick in the draft. Beckett with Florida, Verlander with the Tigers. Those are like can't-miss picks. The question is, can you hit on a couple players every year? Theo did. I don't feel like the Red Sox are really doing that anymore. And I think that that is an ongoing issue. So we'll continue with your phone calls. I see a few more of you lined up, and I do want to get to you, I promise. We'll also get to the Big Y matchup of the game. Check in with Adam Jones. We'll do all of that next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Terry, let me just sneak in a couple of calls here. If you guys can be quick. You got to be quick. Matt in a car, go ahead.
Gotcha. Hi, Tony. How's it going? Big fan. I tend to agree with everyone you're saying about the last first-round picks, pitching-wise, but I'm going to – Cassis is one of the guys I think you got to keep your head out for a superstar. He started off slow coming off of a thumb injury in April. Yeah, he was hitting like 200 or so, but in May he was up to 330 or so with about 1,100 OPS. That's all I got. Just thanks.
Yeah, so, Matt, you're right. And I think I said that on Tristan Cassis, last year's first-round pick. It's too early. Right, again, I go by the overall, the 254, and I know he got off to a slow start. I knew about the injury. But at the end of the day, it all counts. Right? So it's just too early on him. He hasn't played enough, but I'll give you that one. John's in Milford. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mass. Kind of on topic here. Name we haven't heard in a while. Ruzny Castillo. You want to talk about raw talent and somebody we weren't patient with. You know, we can be patient with like a Pedroia underperforming for years. But the sample size on Castillo wasn't long enough. And I know he's getting paid too much and that type of stuff, but he's tearing it up in AAA. Would they ever consider bringing him up?
No, John, you're not going to see him. And the other thing is, remember on Castillo, you said not patient enough. I think he was 27 when they signed him.
Didn't they give him enough chances, that guy?
Yeah.
Getting outs, flipping the ball in the stands. Ruzny Castillo, please.
So my point is, though, like at age 27, it's got to happen fast.
And who knows if that was really his age.
Right, exactly, right. Good point. They signed him out of Cuba, and I say about all the Caribbean players, 10% tax, automatic. 27 is 30. You add 10%. With those guys, you just don't know. So it's got to happen right away for a guy like that, which is why I say Jackie Bradley is now 29. You're still waiting for him to develop? Yeah. Age 29. Like, at some point, you just got to give that one up, folks. He's never going to hit. Okay? He's not a hitter. Period, end of story. Big matchup of the game is presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Chris Sale on the mound tonight should absolutely dominate this Kansas City team. Do you know that Sale has one win since August 12th of last year?
I do.
One win. One. Tonight would be a good night to get one. This Royals lineup hits 240 against him, but one of the only guys that hits him is Salvador Perez, 273, but I think he's on the DL, right? So forget it. No Perez in the lineup. Meanwhile, the guy pitching against the Red Sox.
What's this goofball's name?
Jacob Junis.
Oh.
Do you guys know anything about him?
Because no.
I don't. Looking at the numbers.
I thought that was one of the trash wide receivers that the Packers had. At one
feels
point.
To me, and again, I'm just looking. That was Jeff Janis.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the numbers here. I'm going to guess this guy can't get lefties out because Benintendi has hit him. Again, small sample, 1-for-3. Bradley, 1-for-3. That's a surefire sign. Devers, 2-for-3. Mitch Moreland, 2-for-3. And Moreland's obviously on the DL. But all the lefties have hits, which tells me this guy can't get lefties out. Adam Jones coming up here in a matter of seconds. In fact, they've already spilled over. Can you get to me in 10 seconds what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I do want to say, I don't care for your putting down of Jackie Bradley Jr. there and being down on him as a hitter. I think, you know, he could develop at age 29. I really think it could happen. We're going to react to the latest from Danny Ainge. Kyrie's officially gone. If you didn't know that, you know it now, so we'll start there.
Okay, there you go. Jones and Arcan coming up next. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.